Welcome to the Diary of a Daddy-O podcast, brought to you by myself, David Powell. On this podcast, I'll be talking to a number of daddy-os who are trying to juggle their respective jobs and ever-growing duties as a father. We will be discussing the ups, the downs, and everything in between. We want you to come along on the ride with us. So without further ado, welcome to the Diary of a Daddy-O.
This is a diary pod about how work routines flip, turn upside down, and we'd like to take a second to let you know how we juggle being a dad while being a CEO. Daddy-o.
Welcome back to A Diary of a Daddy-o. We're on episode 11, where it's Good Friday recording today, so thank you, Oliver, for jumping on a technically a day off. Really appreciate it. I'm joined by Oliver, who is the founder of ConversionWise. I'll let you explain a little bit more shortly, but it's been a busy week for myself. Been away with the family, took 16-month-old Brody away to see the family a couple of days away. It was lovely, and now I'm back into things for, well, I say back into things. It's a four-day weekend, so it's a pure family time for the next couple of days. But yeah, I'll hand the floor to you, mate. Let us know your family situation and your sort of career point as it stands.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks for having me on. So as far as the family, I am very happily married, underline happily. Very happily married. And I have been since, I think, 5 years now. I think I've been married. And I have two beautiful little girls. So I have Poppy, who is coming up to 4. She's 3 at the moment. And I have Bonnie, who is coming up to 2. She's 1 at the moment. As far as my kind of, entrepreneurial journey or journey into the world that we are now in, started off as a chef. So kind of came out of school, wasn't very good at school, just wasn't really interested in education. I wasn't like a bad kid. I was just like messed around, just wasn't really interested. So dropped out of sixth form. And then from the age of 13, I've been working part-time in kitchens. So as a chef, started off as a pizza chef. And my parents are like very traditional of the whole kind of like, education is everything, has to be, you have to go to uni, college, et cetera, et cetera. And it just wasn't for me. So they were a bit devoed when I sort of dropped out, but they did the right thing and kind of said, look, if you're going to be a chef, you're going to have to be the best chef. So I went off to college in Stratford, got my culinary arts degree. So like a chefing kind of qualification, I guess. Came back, worked in the kitchens, and all the kind of time whilst I was in the kitchens, I was finding this online space. So I've been online since I was about 15, over 20 years now, which is crazy. And I stumbled across affiliate marketing first. This is the short version. Stumbled across affiliate marketing and communities, built my own affiliate marketing community, which became the largest free affiliate community online. I sold that for a 7-figure sum in 2017 to Neil Patel's investment firm. But whilst I was building that community, I was lucky enough to meet a guy called Andy in Bristol, where I live, which is mad that we met on a community. And he is my co-founder. And we founded a company called Landing Page Guys, which turned into ConversionWise, which we've had for 11 years, which is the business that I run now. And in a nutshell, we do conversion rate optimization and landing page design.
Wow. Well, first of all, congratulations on the exit on business one, and congratulations on also hitting 11 years of business two. Because I think from experience, when we hit a decade of 304, I felt like it deserved some form of medal to say that you successfully navigated a decade in business and growing a business, because it is very difficult, isn't it, to do. What would you say has been more difficult? I know this is a pretty broad question, but building your business or being a father?
I'm very lucky. So I'm hugely lucky that me and my wife had conversations before we had children. So we're not in this situation where it's like a one night thing and or a mistake. You know, we planned everything quite meticulously, to the point where we met when I was probably about 22, 23, and I was still a full time chef. And then when I started the entrepreneurial journey and started actually making my own money, she was very, very, accepting of the fact that I was going to do my own thing as far as like work my own hours. It's not easy to start a business, as you know, especially with kids. Mm-hmm. So she was really accepting of that. And I just, I that's when I knew that Josie, my wife, was like the perfect fit for me. She's amazing, but she also just gives me the freedom to do what I've got to do, because I have this underlying itch, as all entrepreneurs do, to like go and earn money and do my own thing. So she was really, really understanding of that. So she's always been amazing. She's always been, when we had children, I said that we're not going to get married till 30. We'll get married sort of after that. And then once we're married, we'll have children. And she has always been amazingly understanding of the fact that she knows, I know my role and she knows her role. And I know that kind of sounds a little bit anal, a little bit regimented, but we just work. She is very much in charge of our house. And I am very much in charge of, you know, bringing the money in and working. And she's a full-time mum and she absolutely loves it. Now, that doesn't always work, because I've got friends who, you know, have wives or partners who don't want to do the whole kind of full-time mum thing and don't enjoy it. But I'm just lucky that that's what Josie loves doing. She's an incredible mum. So both are difficult, but I am very blessed in my personal life with the fact that Josie takes a lot of the slack for me. Yeah, I'm a very involved dad. I pride myself on having breakfast with my children. I pride myself on getting home every day to have dinner with my children, putting them to bed every day. Obviously, if I'm in Bristol. I think they're both hard, really hard. But I'm very lucky that I have Josie's support. Put it that way.
I think when you said there, like knowing your roles in the house, it's quite an interesting thing to say, because it is true. If you have a successful business, you need your management level, you need the owners, the co-founders to know exactly what they're doing. If they're not, and they're working against each other, or they think they're resentful against the other person because, oh, he's doing this, he's like, I don't know if you've noticed recently, represent George Heaton's doing loads of personal branding at the moment, and then there's certain other business owners calling him out saying you're just now living a lifestyle, but he knows what he needs to do to push represent on now. And it's not being the CEO, it's being George Heaton's lifestyle, which brings customers in. And I think it's...
And I think apparel is very lifestyle driven as well, right? Like it's more than just like a jumper. It's like the feeling, the life that goes with that, right? You're not just selling a jumper.
Exactly. And I when I saw that post, I was like, well, he knows what he needs to do now. He's seen that he is a successful, you could call him an influencer if you wanted to. He knows his role now within the business isn't to be the CEO, to be sat in the office every single day. It's to go and bring the community from all over the world. And I think, like you said there, that your wife knows her role within the relationship and within, even within, like you could say, within the business, she knows.
Yeah, gives me the freedom. Exactly. Exactly that. And I think that's a really relevant point, because I say this all the time on the business side, but I didn't connect the two, but you're absolutely right. On the business side, I have a co-founder, Andy, and we are literally the opposite. So again, we focus very much on our roles to the point now where we don't even have to talk about them. You know, I am very much the kind of sales, marketing, innovation. He is very much processes, people, SOPs, planning, forecasting, numbers. And we kind of co-CEO, I guess. I mean, we're a small company. We have about 45 staff, but we probably like co-CEO where, you know, we are both in touch with the staff and we are both, you know, having those conversations, but he is more on that side of the business. I'm more on that side. And it's also the same, like, I think it's accountability in business and in personal. So if sales and leads are low this week or this month, I'm responsible for that because that's my part of the relationship. If churn is high or people aren't happy in the company, that's Andy's problem and he needs to sort it. It's the same at home. You know, if I'm not bringing money to give us the lifestyle that we want, then that's my side of the bargain. I'm letting my family down. The same if Josie isn't giving those beautiful little girls an amazing upbringing, ultimately that's her kind of side of the agreement. But, you know, we work together, but it's, I'm very lucky that I have Josie for sure.
I know you mentioned there that like you like to do the breakfast in the morning and like the bedtime of an evening. That's sort of your like, that is what I do 100%. It happens if I can do it. Is there anything that you put in place to make sure that you're being Oliver rather than Oliver, the business founder, and Oliver, the dad? What do you do to sort of make sure like, right, this is my, other people have said they continue to play football on the weekends. Like I go to watch Man City every couple of weeks. Yeah, yeah. What do you do to make sure
that's said about that better? Being a massive Liverpool fan, that's not going to work. But
I seem to put heads with everyone on this podcast about Man City. But what do you do to sort of make sure that you're still keeping yourself sort of fresh, because I know that obviously, sorry, just to digress again a little bit myself, when I try and have my like sort of downtime, if it's with Brody, I want to be so present.
Yeah.
When he goes to sleep, I'm so tired. I'm like, I need something separate to make sure that my energy levels go up rather than go down.
Yeah, it's really true. I'm a huge routinal person, so I like routine. But then I'm my own worst enemy, because I like booking things in. So I've always got things to do. And I hate it when I think of it, but then I really enjoy it and I love planning it. But as far as routine, I love fitness. So I don't know whether it's more a mental or a physical or a bit of both, but I can't get up without working out. So we're very fortunate that we have a gym in the house. So I have no excuse. Like, it's literally a 2-minute walk from my bedroom. But I have to work out. It's only 30 minutes a morning. It's not 3 hours. I'm not a big muscly guy. I think it's more for my head. And then, you know, my wife works out most mornings as well. And that's my time, because my wife gets up earlier. She goes in the gym first about 6:30. Our girls wake up about 6:37. And I actually, that's probably one of my favorite times of the day, is that time in the morning where my wife's in the gym and it's my time just with the girls. And they both come into our bed. They watch their little tablets, but we have a little chat as well. Give them both a little cuddle, and I love that time, because that's just my time with them. Then we always make sure we eat breakfast together. I go to work, and then if I can, I tend to be home to hopefully have dinner with them and put them to bed. But aside from that, again, we've got to the stage now. I think when you first have children, and I'm sure you've just been through, you know, you've been through this, or you're going through this, they need your attention 24/7, because they're young, you know, that they're not very independent. You get to an age where, you know, I think anything past kind of late ones to twos, where they are actually become quite dependent, you know, independent. They can walk and talk a little bit. They're easier, never easy, but like easier to put to bed. And whether that's a partner, a wife, or it's your parents, or, you know, someone who can help with that, then you almost get like your freedom back a little bit. And I think because mine are now 3 and 2, I noticed it with Poppy. When Poppy was born, the first year I was very reluctant to say to Josie, like, I've got this work commitment. 9 times out of 10, when I'm like out on the beers or doing something like that, it's with work. It's like a work event, beyond the football. And I do go to the football probably 5-6 times a year. And that's really important to me. But when that first kind of year of having Poppy, I was very reluctant to kind of book these things in, because I knew that Josie needed me. It gets to a stage after a year or so where, you know, routine kicks in, they're sleeping better, they're easier to sort of go to sleep and stuff, touch wood, and that changes overnight. But I almost felt like we both kind of got a bit of our freedom back. And it was nice for me to say to Josie, like, hey, do you know what? Like, she stopped breastfeeding. I was like, hey, Josie, you can go out now. Like, I want you to go. I was encouraging her to go and see her friends and go and have nights out, because I felt guilty doing it myself. But it's really important that you still have your own things, because, you know, you can become fixated with this little bubble, and it's beautiful, and it's your family, and it's amazing. But as you said, it's really important that you still go and do things. And I think it's also, if you are in a relationship as well, it's about the other person having that freedom to go and, you know, I'm very happy to put our girls to bed and look after the girls. God, Jose does so much more than me. So, like, I encourage her, go and book dinner out with your friends, and also doing things together. So, yeah, I think the first year, you know, when we had Bonnie, our second, I had that year again where, like, I was a bit of a recluse and didn't really book too many things in, because I felt guilty and felt, you know, bad for Josie. But once that then lifted again, you know, I'm back out now, and it's about finding that balance. So, yeah, I do a lot of stuff. I'm lucky because of my work. It's very social. But aside from that, fitness is super important to me every morning. And I love, sorry to say it, but I love going to Anfield and watching Liverpool.
That's absolutely fine. It's absolutely fine, mate. It's fine. You might as well enjoy the next couple of months, because once Klopp's gone, it's all over.
God, I just heard Alonso's definitely not coming this morning. So yeah, more bad news for us. So
it'd be a big decision for Liverpool, whether they wait for him or whether I've
got a feeling he'll go to Madrid if they wait. I don't know. But then Klopp, where's Klopp going? Is he going to Madrid? Who knows?
Who knows, mate? It'll be very interesting. I think it's going to be a big merry-go-round this summer in managers and players. But I think what you just said there is really, really interesting. And like the bit you were mentioning about like the the sort of being a recluse at parts of being a parent and then sort of getting your freedom back. Obviously, Brody at the moment, he's 16 months yesterday. Me and Jess, we sort of, it's almost like co-parenting because I work from home quite a lot and I spend a lot of time with Brody. So like we, and she works as well. She's a wedding makeup artist, so she's working this morning. So we've got almost a 50-50 balance between the two. So like I noticed like this weekend when we went away, this week when we went away, we actually went to the pub 3 times in one day. And like, that's unheard of because the parents were around. We were like, felt so comfortable to be like, he is fine.
Yeah.
Because he is a little bit independent now. He's getting to that stage where he can walk, he can feed himself.
That.
And it's a whole different ball game. And I can sort of see it already. And then like you said, if you have a second child, which if we do, like you'll go sort of back into that. Like
you will. Yeah, exactly that. You kind of have that period where it is all hands on deck and they are, you know, the be all and end all, and rightly so, because they are this, this little beautiful thing that doesn't know how to do anything at the moment. But yeah, you do feel, I certainly felt it, that you felt like comfortable in going, do you know what, I'm going to go out with the lads for a beer, or you go out with your friends and have some dinner, but also together, like, you know, you just mentioned family are around. Well, we do this, so we go on family holidays and it's really nice because if we go with my family or Josie's family, the grandparents always volunteer to babysit, and that's something that is nice. You know, like you have that night out with your missus and you go for some dinner and a few drinks, and that's really important as well, because you can just get in this routine of like it's all about the baby, and it is, of course it is, but you're important and your needs and kind of enjoyment is really important still as well, of course. Just comes second now.
100%. It's such a weird feeling because it's the guilt. It's like I've said it to Jess so many times, like especially I will get onto paternity in a moment, but the feeling of the guilt that you're missing out on something, even if it's nothing, he's just like not nothing, but he's playing in the lounge while reading a book and stuff. You feel guilty for missing it, but then you also have to do other stuff. Otherwise, like you said, one, you'll go mad, and two, you stop being yourself, which is what essentially your wife's married that person. She hasn't married.
That's exactly it. 100%. You'll stop being yourself. And I also just think if you are, you know, if you are somewhat successful in business and, you know, you're bringing in the money and that's worked, like, I think that's really important to not veer away from that, because now your drive is different, right? Like, you've probably seen it since having Brody. Like, I'm not just earning for me and Josie. I'm now thinking about my children. And yes, there's, this may even be a conversation that we can talk about, but like there's ways I want to give my children money in the future, and I don't just want them to have it on a plate. And I think my parents were very, very good with that with me. But now I am thinking of like, this isn't just about me anymore. This is about Poppy and Bonnie and like their lifestyle and what they're going to have growing up and the opportunities they're going to get. And yeah, I think that's just so important.
I guess like I just said there, touch on sort of, I know you've got 45 staff, so this probably is quite an interesting question to ask. How did you handle paternity with baby number one and baby number two? And like sort of what is your company stance on paternity and maternity for your staff?
Yeah, great question. So how did we handle it, myself, my co-founder? So Andy is actually younger than me, but he's very much like childhood sweetheart story. So him and Holly, his wife, met when they were like, he was 14, she was 13, I think, and they've been together ever since, married at like 22, had Teddy, their little lad, at 24. So Andy already had a son, so he was a great role model for me. He was really helpful when Poppy was born. Obviously, once you'll find this, if you do have another child, the second one's like, they're probably naughtier, but they're easier because you've just been there and done it. Like, they're kind of self-sufficient. You just get on with it. Whereas the first one, there's lots of like first things and questions. Oh, are we doing this right? Are we doing this wrong? And Andy was just amazing to kind of ask. You know, I would just ring him and say like, oh, you know, Poppy's got this spot here. Teddy ever have this? Or like, Poppy's not sleeping because of this or this. And he would just say, oh, come on, that is all just part and parcel of it.
Big news. We've decided to partner up with a charity called Winston's Wish. They were the first UK's child bereavement charity and have been supporting grieving children and young people for 30 years. The Diary of a Daddy-O would like to help them on their way in providing the much needed money to help provide specialist child bereavement support services across the UK. To donate, visit our Just Giving page, www.justgiving.com/Diary of a Daddy-O. Or click the link in our description below. Now back to the podcast.
You know, now with Bonnie, it's easy on the second. But he was always been a sort of a bit of a mentor as a father to me, because he did it before me. So when he had Teddy, I always remember I went into the hospital the day he was born and saw little Teddy, which was amazing. But he kind of took a couple of weeks just to be kind of present with Teddy, and said, you know, if you have children, do the same. And we're lucky we have each other. You know, it's not like we're sole founders where there may not be a leadership team or a management team in place. If I'm away, Andy covers my back. If he's away, he covers my back. But when Poppy was born, she was born in lockdown. So no one was in the office anyway. We were at home, which actually was really nice, because I just got to spend a good several months at home seeing her. I kind of had both sides. I was still kind of working, but then I was forced to be at home. So I had the blessing of like being around her every day. It was actually a really nice situation, which is strange to say because COVID was a fucking shit show. But like, it was nice. I was at home with Pops. And then with Bonnie, I had about a week and a half off of kind of undivided attention with the girls. And by that time, on the second, like I say, Josie was more confident with the children and stuff. I'm a bit of a worker. I love work. It's Easter Friday, and me and you are both here working. I had a week or a bit off with Bonnie, but we're very lucky that because we've been doing this 11 years, because we have such a fantastic team, and because I have Andy, and because all we need is Wi-Fi, you know, I every year travel for 6 weeks with my family. So, you know, I get that time. I get that amazing time. And, you know, those 6 weeks, yes, there are days where I don't, well, I always log on, but you know what I'm saying? There are days where I just check my email for 20 minutes and have the rest of the day off. But because I can work from a laptop, you know, my routine is on those 6 weeks, I'll do an hour in the morning, I'll do a couple hours in the afternoon whilst the girls are in the pool. And it's really nice. I see my children a lot compared to, you know, someone who may be working, for example, a 9-to-5 or something, has very strict hours, etc. As far as our company, I think I'm going to embarrass myself here if I'm wrong, but I think I am right in saying, out of 45 people, I think there's only one or two people who have children, which is crazy. I think this a lot. So we have I think there's 12 of us here in the UK, and none of them have children, and of different age ranges as well. So we to be completely honest, we have never crossed that scenario. But when it comes to paternity and maternity, we are very flexible. We've always been very flexible with our team. So we've always asked for flexibility from their side, but in return, we will be flexible. So we don't time manage, we don't micromanage. As long as they're getting results and the clients are happy and you know, performance is good and they hit certain KPIs, like, we're very happy with them working their own hours, or, you know, if they have a routine and they like to go to the gym in the afternoon, that's fine. If they want to start a bit later or work a bit earlier, you know, it's fine as long as you're getting results. So I think when it comes to that situation, of course, we probably will have that situation soon, I hope. And we will be very flexible, you know, take what you need to take and enjoy it. Just make the most out of it, because we actually, saying that, we did have a graphic designer who recently moved to Ireland and had a child, and we just said to her, look, just take what you need and come back when you're kind of ready.
Brilliant. I mean, I've had a few people on the podcast where a lot of people sort of, because of the COVID lockdown baby scenario, that a lot of people did get a lot of time at home. They sort of didn't need to address how long it was and whether it was 2 weeks up, completely zoned in, and then you're working from home, like you said, for a month, 2 months, 3 months. It was a little bit like me, really, because we were in the process of selling the business when Brody was born. So I was spending quite a lot of time at home away from the office just to get these sort of things sorted, that I spent a lot of time at home. And then that sort of made me realize that is actually what I want long term. Yeah. It's not to be back in an office 9-to-5 or whatever I've been doing for the previous 10 years. It was like, I want to build a life now where spending time with the family and Brody is the primary focus, and work fits around it. Whereas previously to that, like, being an entrepreneur and building a business, you were just always in that business. How phone was never down.
How do you do that at home? Like, from someone who, I'm very different. So again, just not to bring him up all the time, but Andy can work from home. He can be in a very busy, he thrives in busy environments, in coffee shops, etc. I hate it. I think that's why I was a bit of a twat at school, because I'm easily distracted. So yeah. If I'm at home and the kids are there, I can't really do any deep work, serious work. I'm guessing you can. That's amazing.
I'm a massive introvert. So like when I'm in big social settings or when I'm in the office, I struggle then. So like I can't be in a real prime example is I can't be at a dinner table and hear two conversations. It makes my brain completely shut down to the point where I feel exhausted. So like, I don't know what medically that is, but I prefer to be on my own and multitask rather than be in a scenario where a million things are going on at once, because I just can't physically concentrate. It tires me out. And then
with Brody at home, that you find that's okay.
I find that multitasking absolutely fine, because
that's cool.
Obviously, a lot of the time Jess is over here as well, or I have a grandparent sort of helping me out, or I'll play with Brody for an hour and a half, and when he goes for a nap, like he's sleeping now, like I'll do the podcast and this is my deep zone, then I'll edit this when he's asleep again later. So like my working day isn't 9 to 5 anymore, it's just the day. It's working for now. Whether that's going to be the case if baby two comes, or whether
you've got two of them running around chucking stuff around. Exactly. I think that was a little bit of a struggle for me. I have a home office as well, but I must admit, this is nothing against my children. Again, I love my children so much, but I need to get out of the house. I find it so much better coming to this environment and just getting my head down. But then that's why I set myself boundaries, where I think there's probably been one or two times in the past 2-3 years where I've had to say to Josie, like, I've got to stay at the office tonight and work on. I am home at, you know, between 5 and 6 every night to see those girls, to bath them, to put them to bed with my wife. That's really important.
What would your hardest challenge in business have been so far since being a parent, and how did you sort of deal with it?
Yeah, good question. Since being a parent,
and not letting it sort of come into the household, because a few people on the podcast have said as well, it's very difficult to leave things at the door.
I am probably guilty of that. I wear my emotions massively on my sleeve, to the point where my eldest Poppy, she started doing impressions. So we like wind each other up in the house, and like mummy's favorite thing is to go. We've got this M&S garage, and she loves going in there and getting her oat milk latte. That's her little, like, that's like me going to the pub and having a beer. She goes to the M&S and grabs her oat milk latte. That's her little thing. She does a little scratch card. So Poppy will do an impression of mummy, and she'll be like, I go to M&S and get my latte and stuff like this. And then she does an impression of me, and it's very much like, oh, my name's Daddy. I go to work. I'm grumpy. I go to work. And I am definitely guilty of, like, if I've had a bad day or something has pissed me off, like I am bad at kind of bringing that home. And that is a struggle. Is like, I think for me as well, because sometimes the work can be very intense. Like yesterday, for example, we've been doing staff appraisals. So you imagine that times... We didn't do it for everyone, because not everyone started a year ago. We do them basically annually. But we did probably about 20 in the last week or two, me and my co-founder. And I find that quite intense when you have like back-to-back calls with team members and they're discussing, you know, everyone has problems, challenges, but also good feedback, et cetera, et cetera. And then yesterday, I think I was doing 3 or 4 staff appraisals in the morning. I then had a podcast at 2, and then I was on Alex Fedotoff's YouTube at, I think it was 3. And I went home after that, and I'm like, I kind of thought I was back in my kitchen days. When you come out of the kitchen, like, everyone thinks once you've been in a busy night shift, you're going to be knackered. It's the opposite. Your brain is like wired. I was like buzzing, and I came back in, and I have a lot of faults. One of my big faults is I'm a neat freak, and with kids, that's very difficult. So I like the house looking pristine. You know, they have a playroom, the toys stay in the playroom. And I came home yesterday, and it was just one of those scenarios, no fault of my wife or anything, but I walked in the door and like kids are running around screaming, there's toys everywhere, this and this. And I come home from that like high intense environment from work, and they're like jumping all over me and wanting to see daddy and play with daddy. But my head was like so that you know, I didn't like shout at them, but I was, it's hard not to be that kind of like grumpy person. And sometimes you have to almost step back and think, are these little girls, they don't know any different. They don't know that I've just had a hard day at work. Like, they just want to see their dad. And yeah. I'm definitely guilty of that, for sure. Yeah.
What would your one piece of advice be to a dad that wants to start a business?
Routine. I'm a huge fan of routine. I think it's really important. This was something that Andy kind of taught me, that he said to me, I can remember when I didn't have children, he had Teddy, and he was like, the one thing I'm going to do every single day is make sure I'm at home to either pick Teddy up from school or have dinner with Teddy. And I've mentioned it a couple of times on this podcast. Like, I think it's really important for me to have it in my head that every day I'm having breakfast with them and every day I'm having dinner with them, because at least then I have that, I give them my attention. I think, again, being accountable. So me and Andy do this thing every month where we set like an amount of tasks that we want to do within the month. So let's say like mine might be every day I want to work out for 30 minutes, burn my calories, read 10 pages of a book, tell one person I love them, and be without my phone between 5 and 7. And I think that's kind of really important, is like going home, putting that phone down so you give them the undivided attention. But I think if people want to start their own business and they have kids, I think it's getting that like structure and that routine, and getting someone on side that can help you. So whether that's your wife, whether that's your mum, a babysitter, the nursery or whatever, but like, even if it's just 2-3 hours where you are shut away from everything so you can focus on the business, and then you know that you're fulfilling yourself as a dad because you've got the other windows either side to then go and be a dad. I personally couldn't mix the two. And that's just me personally. Like, I don't think I could do what you're doing, for example, hence why I asked the question, if you're obviously amazingly productive when you were at home with Brody. I couldn't do that. So I think it's, again, working to your strengths and environments. If you are someone who gets easily distracted, then making sure you have someone who can come look after the child, or, you know, you can do that for a couple of hours and then you do your D work and then you come back and you're present with your child. But I think it's all about, yeah, playing to your strengths and having a kind of a set routine, for sure. And also, I think that's just the fuel that burns the fire, right? Like, when you have a child and you're starting a business, I always have the end goal in mind. So I always have like, imagine the lifestyle that I can give these children. Like, we don't have to worry if they want to goes to the zoo today, because everything's fucking expensive these days, but like, you know, you don't have to worry that, you know, if you want to go and travel and have 6 weeks on holiday so they can go in a pool every day and enjoy it whilst I work, because I have my routine. I'm now fueled by that. Yes, I'm fueled by other stuff, but my main concern now with money and business is like the next 10 to 15 years before they can turn around and tell me to go away, dad, is like, I'm going to have like great holidays and great times and give those girls like a really amazing upbringing.
I think that is what I saw a post on Instagram the other day saying, that being a parent is essentially your main job is to make memories for your kids. And like being away with like I was away with my dad for this time here. And like, you don't realize that is such a massive thing that you're doing as a parent. Is all the things I remember from being a child is like stuff that I was doing with my parents. It wasn't, oh, my dad earned X amount, or my dad worked for this company, or my mom and dad went and did this with their friends one time. Because you're as a kid, you're not bothered at all. You're completely oblivious to it. That if your mom and dad have gone away, it's that memory of being with your grandparents, you don't remember what they're doing. So like you said, it's really key to make sure that you're making memories and being present with your kids, so that's what they remember when they're older. And like you said, if your fuel to make amazing memories is building the business and making sure you're financially stable, then it's a really good sort 100%. Of KPI driver, whatever you want to call it, to being successful. And I think it's the same for me. I want to make sure that I spend as much time as possible with Brody, so that when he's older, he's like, yeah, my dad was a really good person, as well as a maybe successful businessman. I guess we've just hit 33 minutes, so we'll try and wrap it up now so I don't keep you too much longer. When you had your first child, I'll rephrase this. It's a question I ask everyone. Before you had your first and second child, did you have a number of children that you discussed with your wife that you wanted? And did it change after having number one and two and seeing how you dealt with it as a household?
Yeah, great question. We always knew we wanted children. I think we have this conversation a lot. I think we take, I'm talking about me specifically here, by the way. I think these days we take having children for granted, because I think when you grow up, I'm 36, and when I went through school and stuff, like, you always taught about like safe sex and blah, 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 and like, you know, or just it takes one time to get pregnant, blah, 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 which, by the way, it can. But yeah. I think everyone always takes having children for granted, as if it's like just a given, like, oh, we'll decide when we want to have kids and then we'll have kids. I think when you get older, and more so, I don't even know what the stats are, but I reckon that, you know, people going through IVF, et cetera, has increased a lot, in my opinion, I think. I don't know if that's factual. But I think you just take it for granted that you can have children. So we planned on having children after we got married, which was like 30, when I was like 31, 32. But I don't ever think that you can take that for granted, because we've had lots of friends who've struggled, some who can't have children, some who've had to go through IVF and stuff. And I think we're extremely lucky to just have two beautiful girls naturally and have them when we plan them. But I don't think that's the fairy tale. I think that's the fairy tale. I don't think that's life, right? Because a lot of people can't. So I think first and foremost, I am very lucky. We always discuss having children. I don't know if you've ever watched it, but have you ever watched Modern Family?
I've seen bits of it, yeah.
Yeah, so we love that show. And we love the whole idea of, it's very clever. If anyone hasn't seen it, it's like a whole family, but they're all disconnected. And in the first episode, you don't even realize they're a family. And then at the end, they all kind of connect. And it's really a lovely program that like has family kind of ethos behind it. And we always watch that program and love the idea of like having three or four kids that when they're older, they all come to our house for Sunday dinner. You know, I love the idea of like, we put Liverpool on the TV, watch the game, because that's what I do with my old man. Like, you know, I think one thing with my dad, I'm lucky that he lives in the same city as us, but I pay for all the Sky, the BT and stuff, and all the, you know what it's like to pay for all the football, it costs a couple of months. I do it not because I want to watch it, but I do it because it gives me an excuse to get my dad up, because he comes up every week to watch the games, and that's our time. Sorry, I'm digressing from your question. But yeah, we love the idea of having these sort of like three, four kids with all their kids all coming up to our house and blah, blah, blah. But we were sort of toying with the idea of three, maybe four. But yeah, we are definitely stopping at two. So for no reason, it's just two to three, I think, is like an extra jump. Like, you need a bigger car, a bigger house, like this. Like, two for me is perfect. I feel so lucky that I've had two healthy, natural, beautiful little girls, that I don't also want to like jinx that. I just think we're so content. And also, a lot of people, because I'm a girl dad, a lot of people say, Don't you want the boy? I'm going to be really honest here. I'm a big football fan, huge Liverpool fan. My family are from Liverpool. My dad's season tickets for years. I go there all the time.
Yeah.
I never wanted a boy, which is crazy, because most you would assume that most blokes want boys. I really wanted girls. So I was buzzing when I had two girls. And everyone says like, oh, you're going to try for the third, you're going to go for the boy. And I'm like, no, I would have been happy. Obviously, I would have loved them the same if it was a boy.
Yeah.
But genuinely, I always wanted girls. So yeah, I've kind of, I feel very lucky. So we're good with two.
I mean, you've said a lot of interesting points there. With the being a dad of two girls, I've got a friend that's got two girls, and he's like, there's so many benefits to it, that when you have two of the same, they play with each other, they do the same things, they go to the same classes. Obviously, I've got a boy, Brody, and I always wanted a boy for that reason of like, you go to take him to Man City, watch the football. Yeah. I was a footballer when I was younger, like that sort of idea. But on the flip side of it, having a girl, if they get married, you get to do the walking down the aisle, it's your little apple of your eye and stuff like that. So there's things that you may get to do, you might not get to do, depending on what you have. And like, if I don't have a girl, I'm happy with having, if I have two boys, three boys, four boys, whatever it may be. But it's interesting that you said that you're happy with the two girls. And I think,
I think I'll regret that when they're 15, 16. I think that's when I'm in for a world of pain.
But
I think it's probably the opposite with boys, because we have this discussion with friends who have like kids and stuff. And like, my wife always says, like, boys are always like nutters. Like, they're running around here and there. They're cooking footballs. They never sit still. So I think within our circle anyway, it sounds like boys are harder when they're younger. And then I think when boys get older, like, me and you are both boys, we both like football and go into the pub and stuff like that, like, I think that then becomes, you're more like a mate to them, and that's a cool thing. I think when girls get older, I think that's when all trouble starts, when they start having boyfriends and stuff like that. So yeah, I'm definitely I'm going to enjoy this part of their lives more than anything, I'm sure. But yeah,
absolutely, mate. Well, hopefully it all goes well for you, and we'll leave it there, mate. Thank you so much for joining me today. I'll put all your website, socials, everything in the description, and yeah, thanks for coming on, mate.
Appreciate it. Really enjoyed it. Thank you, mate.
Cheers, buddy.
This is a diary pod about how work routines flip, turn upside down, and we'd like to take a second to let you know how we juggle being a dad while being a CEO.